Welcome to, the fuck is the name of this show?
Hot for Teacher.
Welcome to Hot for Teacher.
Colon. The Greatest American Hero Watch Party.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, my assistant. And yes, I, your purported host, Claire, is here with my purported assistant.
Yes.
Todd.
Hello. Yes.
And we're here to talk about...
It's episode three.
We're here to talk about episode three of The Greatest American Hero. Here's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you, kid. Mm-hmm.
In which the greatest American hero has his next great adventure
in safeguarding
Los Angeles and democracy.
From a multicultural group of, I guess, evil bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is just like hang out and
they mostly hang out in a conference room.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The intro comes in. And the first thing that I think of is the fact that our brother-in-law, Stevie.
Oh, that's right.
Did not. And I feel like maybe we've talked about this before.
We haven't. Okay. We haven't recorded in a long time.
Okay. Well, yeah, but this was at Christmas. This is over.
We haven't recorded in a long
time. Really? Okay. Okay. So he did not know until we told him that the Believe It or Not was an actual song and not just George Costanza's answering machine, Believe It or Not, George Isn't at Home.
Well, it is entitled Theme from Greatest American Hero,
parentheses, Believe It or Not. Anyway, Stevie did not realize it was an actual song or even had knowledge of the show.
No, had no idea.
Yeah, that's how much older we are.
He's young. He's a young man.
Oh, anyway, all right.
And here it is. Here's the George Costanza.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Leave a message at the beep. I must be out before I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Here's looking at you, Stevie.
So here's looking at you, Stevie. That is amazing to me that you can just live your life having watched a Seinfeld episode, not knowing at all.
I don't know if any of my... I'm sure Pete knew. But yeah. I don't know if Carrie knew what this was. Why would she know? She's 11 years younger than me.
Yeah.
We open on... a bunch of dudes in an Air Force base.
Yes.
Or something.
Yes. It is, hang on, it is at Beller Aircraft Research in Palmdale, California.
Okay.
And they're running a test.
So it's not even like an actual, here's what I don't
get. It's like
a
defense contractor.
I guess so. Yeah. Which really makes this whole ensuing thing more annoying. But okay, so it's just it's not even an Air Force base. It's just a test pilot.
They keep talking about the Army.
Yeah.
Which I don't really get.
I guess.
But okay.
I
guess everybody has airplanes.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're testing they're testing this hyper technical gun sight that can shoot a beer can from five miles away.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
It's one of the things they say it can do. But it's like super accurate. It works at night. It's infrared. It's super awesome. And it's a highly sensitive piece of military technology.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, so they're all like freaking out because the plane won't respond.
Yeah, they can't raise the pilot. Yeah. He's going off course.
He's headed south by southwest.
He's headed to south by southwest.
Along with everybody else.
I mean, the episode did air in March, so it's entirely possible.
That's pretty funny. I like that. That's the latest gimmick at South by. He's going to land on 6th Street.
Mm-hmm. South by this year, as we record this in 2024, South by did get some shit this year for having too much military.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
Like a bunch of bands pulled out and all that. So. Yeah. So this episode
All I know is Ryan Gosling was in my town at the same time I was in my town. And therefore, we are now officially going together.
He's basically your new boyfriend.
Yes. Sorry, Eva Mendes.
The plane goes off course.
Mm-hmm. And the plane, they determine the plane is hijacked.
Hijacked.
Because they find the actual pilot
yeah.
like knocked out behind yep. a
filing
bunch of,
cabinet.
They said a bunch of crates.
Yeah.
He's hidden behind some crates.
Next, well, you don't see the plane land. That's too expensive.
No. And everyone thinks it's going to ditch in the ocean.
Right. Yeah. Turns out it does not. It ditches in the desert.
That's Bill's theory.
Yes.
He's the only one with this
yeah.
theory.
No, we see it land in the dirt before Bill's
theory. Oh, yeah,
theory
that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trust me, I took notes on this one.
Okay.
So it lands in a dirt field, mm-hmm. and then I have a, what is that flight suit? And a guy with like ruffles on his flight suit.
Yeah, when
up.
You watch this episode, the flight suit is like vented and aerated or something.
And it's got like corded shit on it. Like,
it's a pretty crazy flight suit.
Yeah, I've never seen a flight suit like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we cut to Ralph, who's teaching as
he's
he
in
does because he's a teacher
and he's teaching civics this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
he was doing Shakespeare last week.
Yes. I feel like for sure his class is just
general ed.
listen please just take these children and keep them busy, mm-hmm. while the rest of us do.
Right, because they're all bad kids.
Yeah. Uh-huh, they're so bad because they're talking about elections and stuff. They're trying to get so I don't The only one who's familiar to me is Tony.
Right.
All the rest of these kids are new, as near as I can tell.
I think Rhonda's new. It's not the same Rhonda.
Her name's Carrie.
Oh, her name's
it's
Carrie.
It's not even Rhonda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's all like, oh, Carrie and I are together. Where did Rhonda go?
What happened with Rhonda?
I don't know. Like,
is she heartbroken?
Yeah. I assume maybe she went back to the regular kids' classes.
That's
but
right.
Still,
no,
like,
this was threatened in
lap
school. Episode, though. It was like, oh, Rhonda's going to get out of this class because she's too smart.
Yeah. Tony was like, oh, forget you, Rhonda. Well, maybe Rhonda was like, forget you, Tony, when
maybe.
She got out of that.
Yeah.
More like it. Yeah. So, also, Tony's like 35. So
yes. He's
a little problematic.
He's going to be in this class forever.
Yeah.
There's no fixing Tony.
Yeah.
So, Tony's strong-arming some kid into running for class president.
Yeah. A kid that we've never... Rodriguez? Was that his name?
I don't know. I
can't
write down his name.
We got Chafee running for president.
And, and they're trying to get him to, you know, he's strong-arming him into running for class president. Why? I don't know. The kid doesn't want to run. They have a whole conversation with Mr. H about mm-hmm. how this is not really a democracy.
Well, actually, it's democracy in a republic.
Whatever. yeah, sure. Okay. That's what we're in. We're not in a theocracy or anything.
No.
Then I have cut to Bill.
He's getting off the payphone.
Yeah. And he's like, come on, we got to do this thing. We got to go look for this plane. That's where his theory comes in.
Right.
Go on.
He's like, hey, everybody's looking for it because mm-hmm. that's what Mr. H says. It's like, how come the Army's not looking for it? Uh-huh. He's like, the Army's looking for it, the Coast Guard's looking for it, the Navy's looking for it, the FBI, the CIA. And
just Bill.
And Bill's like, no. It landed in the desert.
Bill's
I know
the
it.
Only one. Why? Is
and Ralph was like, why didn't you tell anybody? He's like, I did. They didn't believe me, but we're going to go find it. I don't know why he believes this. Like, this leap for him is not explained.
Yeah. Well, I just don't get... I mean, I don't know. On one hand, yes, it seems perfectly believable that our government could be like, no, we refuse to even waste any of our massive resources on this one area.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm like, come on. All right, so Bill's like, we got to come with me. And then...
And Hank, Mr. H, is like, no can do.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting Pam's parents tonight.
Meeting Pam's parents.
We got to go to the airport, uh-huh. pick up Pam. And
yeah.
he's like, no, man. National security.
Yeah. Ralph is like, no, his dad is the mayor of a town or something.
Deer,
which Bill refers to as East Dog Breath, Nebraska.
Right.
So I'm going to have to use that at some point. So finally, it seems like Bill has persuaded Ralph to mm-hmm. help him. And mm-hmm. he's like, but Ralph says, but I need to call Pam. And
he
Bill
says, while standing in front of a payphone.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bill says, don't worry about it. Let's go. I have a car phone.
You can call her from the road.
It's a tin man.
Well, I got to call Pam. Use my car phone.
And so he does. And Pam's like, I can barely hear you because uh-huh. it's a car phone.
Yeah.
And then we see the phone.
Yes. Which is, it's the same phone that Pam is on.
Right.
It's Pamazon. I like that.
No, oh, very
it's
good.
The same phone that Pamazon, and it's just a handset with the twisty cord, the beige one that's but like in every office.
Presumably yeah. is plugged yeah. into the cigarette lighter.
Yeah, as near as I could tell, Ralph is just having a fake conversation with Pam.
It's pretty crazy. Like, and in the 80s, like, car phones did exist, but they were like big bricky Motorola things. Mm-hmm. They did not look like these handsets.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That was a fun bit of set dressing.
That like, was fun.
and he's like, "Hey, can't make it. Please just make an excuse, and I'll catch up with you later for dinner."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Fine."
Yeah. I mean, what
and
else?
He's like, "National security."
Yeah. Bill gives Ralph a voice-operated walkie-talkie, mm-hmm. which is what else would operate a walkie-talkie? I don't know.
Right.
It's a click-click. It's a fart-operated walkie-talkie.
I think the implication.
Todd's embarrassed and upset that I pulled out a fart joke.
No, I'm fine with fart jokes. I love fart jokes. Farts are hilarious. But yeah, it's just a little kind of silver wand that's like 6 inches long.
Like a voice recorder.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
And he's like, "I got no pockets."
Yeah. The suit has no pockets.
It's like, welcome to women's fashion.
Yeah. Exactly. I know that. You know that because like when we do have a dress that has pockets, that's all we can fucking talk about is how many pockets our dresses has.
So Pam's parrots are introduced. I have a lot to say about these two characters.
Go ahead.
So Pam's mom is played by June Lockhart.
Mm-hmm.
She is best known as, I believe she's best known as the mom from Lost in Space.
Dr. Smith, I could just throttle you.
No violence, please, dear lady.
She is Maureen Robinson. Mm-hmm. And she was also on Lassie for a while. She's not on original Lassie. She's on only seasons 5 through 10 of Lassie.
That's a lot of seasons.
Yeah,
that's
but she
what
did
I
win an Emmy for.
Okay, that's what I know her from. I never watched Lost in Space.
Well, come on, it's one of the greatest 60s science fiction shows of all time. That's not Star Trek.
I'm not saying no one should ever watch Lost in Space. I'm just saying I happened to not watch
it. I'm just saying that June Lockhart is an old hand at CBS science fiction action shows.
Yeah,
like
correct.
Greatest American Hero. Yeah. So good get.
Yeah. And I would like to jump in and say that she still looked good.
She's still working today. She's 98 years old.
Holy shit, what is she doing?
She did some voice work for a cartoon in like 2021, I want to say.
All right, June Lockhart.
Yeah, she is one of the last surviving golden age of Hollywood people around.
I didn't know that. Well, I would like to see what she looked, because she looked, I mean.
She looked great.
And now in retrospect, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking she was probably like 50.
Yeah, she was born in 1925.
So how old was she
in 1980, whatever it was, 82, 83?
Yeah.
I can't do
math.
She was like 60.
Okay. So, well, you know what? Honestly, though, if I look
60 in the 80s is like 80 today.
Yeah. But the thing is she looked good. It's how they dress, I think, a lot of it is. And, you know, but she looked good. I thought she looked really pretty.
I thought she looked great.
She was way too good for Pam's dad.
She's way too good for this TV show.
Yeah. How dare you, sir?
Pam's dad is played by Bob Hastings, also born in 1925. Bob Hastings is best known as Lieutenant Elroy Carpenter on ABC's McHale's Navy.
Oh,
he's a little bit of a heel character, a little bit of a like a Thorne and Ernest Borgnine side.
Okay.
Kind of a goody two shoes kind of character.
All right.
But he is best known to me as the, I would say, original voice of Commissioner Gordon in Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
She was my daughter. My daughter.
And he's pretty great in that. Like, he pretty much sets the bar for Commissioner Gordon. He's much less goofy than, like, the Adam West era of Batman.
Yeah.
He's,
that's cool.
He's dark and serious.
When is that, like, the Batman the Animated Series, when did that come out?
That would have been, like, 89 to 93 or so, something like that. It was, like, when I was, That was my late teen years.
Okay.
And Batman Animated Series was an incredible and dark TV show. And it came on in my market. It came on after DuckTales.
Welcome, kids.
I know. And like, people died on that show. Yeah. Like, there was like one of the best episodes, one of the most heart-wrenching episodes, not the most heart-wrenching episode yeah. of Batman the Animated Series, is when Commissioner Gordon's daughter, Barbara Gordon, aka Batgirl,
yeah.
dies.
What?
Scarecrow kills her. And he blames Batman.
What?
And holy it's shit. A whole thing.
Does Commissioner Gordon believe him?
It. I'm not going to spoil it. You have to go through the whole whole thing.
All right. We got to do the whole arc.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's kind of he's one of the early fixtures in like the DC animated universe.
All right. If you hear any clicking, it's our dog walking around because we have all hardwood floors. I will not.
Okay.
I will not. Because that will just cause her to come over here. It's just click, 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 click. And I have trimmed her nails recently. Yeah. It's just all hardwood. Well, it's not hardwood. It's hard laminate.
Yes. But that is Pam's parents. Two kind of big deal actors.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
June Lockhart and Bob Hastings. So good for them to get them.
I know you are champing at the bit to talk about the plane noise.
Mm. Yes, this is the first kind of ham-handed edit.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why. So they're talking about Ralph. And there's a line that June Lockhart says, like, Ralph Hinckley, that just really sounds like an educator's name. Except you can't hear Ralph Hinckley. You just hear Ralph. That really sounds like an educated name because they're still at the airport. And every time they say the word Hinckley out loud, which is twice, giant airplane noise.
Ralph. Oh, it's such a nice name. You know, I've always thought that you can tell a great deal about a person by his name. Oh, this is the perfect name for an educator. Don't you think so, Daddy?
Yeah, it's all right.
Ralph. Great deal. Solid, capable, stable, feet on the ground.
And the reason for this, we kind of alluded to it in the first episode of this very podcast, was the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan was 2 days before the air. So CBS felt like they needed to change the name from Ralph Hinckley because the shooter was David Hinckley.
And not so John Hinckley?
Or John Hinckley. I don't know. It was Hinckley.
Okay.
And, and so they're like, oh, we got to change it. So for the rest of the season, I think on the next episode, too, there's like a really heavy dub on it.
It's Ralph.
Right. I can't hear anything. And then they change the name. They overdub. They change his name to Hanley for the next few episodes.
Okay.
And then they're like, this is stupid. And then they go back.
Well, America has moved on.
Right. It's fine. I don't know. Maybe if Reagan had died, he would have been would have been Ralph Hanley forever, but he didn't. So we get to keep Hinckley.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's real crazy when you
Bin Laden.
Uh-huh. That's right. Ralph David Chapman Bin Laden Oswald.
The Booth. Oh boy. We just crack ourselves up.
Yeah. Anyway, it's really great if you watch nothing else. And it's great because it's the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You'll catch it right away. It's super fun.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We cut to Ralph and Bill are in the desert.
Yeah.
Conducting a grid search.
Right. It's flying and crashing montage.
Yeah, flying
time.
And crashing. And it always okay, so obviously that's got to be the desert outside, I mean on the east side of California. Like, where is that?
Sure. I don't know. It's some dirt farm, like in the back of
the
studio.
But it's scrubby, you know. So anyway, they're out there.
It looked like exactly the same place where episode one happens.
Absolutely it did.
And so I think it's just like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as he's crashing and then taking off again, we keep hearing some kind of, it's playing a cheesy 70s yacht rock song.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, you know, as we've learned in other episodes,
who knows?
We don't know if it was the original song,
right?
Or if it's something new that they dubbed in.
It sounds a little something like this.
I'm gonna keep it up till I get it right. I'm gonna get it
again. Here goes nothing.
Right.
Yeah, no idea. No idea what this song is.
Eventually, Ralph crashes.
Ralph accidentally finds the plane.
Yes.
After several takeoffs and landings and a quite obvious stunt double for some of them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All of you, if there's anybody listening to this, especially maybe our friend Nate, who thinks that Todd is bullying me by interrupting me, I'd like to tell you, no, don't worry about that. I'm perfectly capable of holding my own against Todd.
You definitely are.
But I put less effort into things than he does, so I'm happy to let him take the lead.
That's true. That's not true. Yeah. You ride for the show. So grabs the helmet and says, like, hey, we found the plane. And Bill's like, great. Oh, look, there's tire tracks. They didn't fly away in a MiG.
Right.
They're not Soviets. It's not the Kremlin. We have a chance of picking this thing up.
Call is coming from inside the house.
It's coming from inside the house. And so here's the helmet. Hey, Ralph, do your remote sensing thing. Mm-hmm. Get your vibes. And then Ralph like launches into like a weird like sci-fi babble explanation of how his powers work.
Yeah.
But it's a very iffy proposition. It has something to do with electrical impulses or brainwaves or something.
No clue where he's getting this from because as we've well established, he's lost the book.
I'm just looking at my notes, and my notes say it can't be that hard to fly.
Yeah, he does put a lot. Like, he oversteers quite a bit.
Yeah, I feel like if you do it enough, it can't be that bad. I mean, like, I say this now, having taught one child to drive, it can't be that hard to fly. There's no other flyers on the road.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's but the whole time he's flying, he's like,
Yeah, he's like freaking out all over the place.
Just calm
he needs
the
to chill.
Fuck down.
He needs to chill out. That would like really help. But no, this lasts the entire run, I believe. This is every flight for him, right?
Yeah.
So he never actually learns how to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he grabs the helmet
and
he puts it on and he has a vision.
He sees inside of a building, he sees a chalkboard with what appears to be a Craigslist ad for a mercenary on it.
Yes. High risk, high reward, Angola.
Yeah, private army. But also says Central America, doesn't it?
Also Central America. Maybe they're not sure where Angola is.
Kind of live it up down old South America way, huh, Mikey?
And Ralph describes this to Bill. Bill says, hang on, this sounds familiar. There's a veterans club, and it's in a residence with a yard.
Private club for mercenaries.
Private club, supposedly for veterans, but really it's a front for mercenaries.
Yeah.
Now, he's just keeping tabs on this, I guess,
Or
whatever, but he happens to know this. And he's like, that must be it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, let's head over there.
Yeah. Wait, I have bloodbath, Pittsburgh threat, and telekinesis written down.
That's right. So Bill has suddenly a theory. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe you can do telekinesis. And
telekinesis.
You
ever hear of telekinesis or kinesis, however you say it?
Yeah. We're all like, you say telekinesis.
You say telekinesis. No one has ever said telekinesis. And then Ralph says, oh, sure. If I could do telekinesis, you'd be in Pittsburgh by now, which
Whereas
I didn't really understand.
Todd was not fully paying attention. And then he sets up and goes, what?
What's wrong with Pittsburgh? why would Bill go to Pittsburgh?
It's just far away.
It's far away. All. That's the implication. He would have flung Bill 3,000 miles from Los Angeles to Pittsburgh.
Sure. Why not? I mean, why not like Timbuktu or something?
Sure.
But, yeah. I guess that's the
and so then
Pittsburgh,
Bill
that's the Pittsburgh of the
Pittsburgh
world.
Pittsburgh is basically nowhere, right?
Back to
it's too
of
far
America.
Away. Bill says, "Okay, here, let's try out this telekinesis." And Ralph's like, "I don't know. Every time I try something new, something bad happens to me." And he's like, "Come on, let's do it." And so they're gonna do it. And he's like, "Look, just resist me with your mind. I'm gonna come at you, and you're gonna push me back. Just push." And Ralph's like, "Okay," and he like gives a look. He's like, no, really do it. Just
and when
give
I
a look.
It's interesting because when I think of like the only time in my life where I have pushed without actually touching something,
right.
It was when I gave, there's two times I gave birth. And so is he like pushing?
He's Kegeling.
With it? It's like, what is he doing? That's the only thing I can think of. Well, I guess there's, you know, there's having to go to the bathroom. bathroom.
Right.
That's
there
going
is.
Number two.
Now, come on. This is a family podcast.
It's not.
No, it's explicit. Yeah. It's marked explicit. So
we're talking about pooping, ladies and gentlemen.
No one poops.
Farts and poops.
No one poops.
Oh, then you want you're a naughty child, and that's concentrated evil coming out the back of you.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, but before that, I have cut to Pam's parents condescending about her career in a hardware store.
Oh,
they've gone
that's
into the
right.
hardware store.
No. It's right after the scene. It's after the telekinesis scene.
Mm-mm, no,
oh,
it's in
nope. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It's in between. There's an intercut.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. But it's a quick one where they're like, oh, well, you're going to keep that up. Like, they think that she's marrying Ralph.
Right.
And they're like,
and
well,
they're going to do something tomorrow, but Pam can't go because she has to go to court.
Right. Yeah. And why did her parents come during the week? I don't know. Why didn't they come on a weekend?
I don't know.
Or maybe she's lying.
And maybe they just came to like tour hardware stores.
I guess so. Yeah. Because they're in a hardware store and they put the nuts right next to the bolts. Who would do that? That's insane.
Uh-huh.
And then they're thinking like, one of them says, well, you're going to keep that thing up?
Oh, you're still doing that, huh?
Uh-huh.
It's like, yeah, mom, I went to law school. It was very expensive.
And that just really made me think like, wow, that's crazy that there was a time, obviously there was a time.
Right.
There was a time when like parents might be like, oh, you're still doing that hobby? But, or
you're not,
like
getting married?
But now it's like, I love my parents. I'm sure they cannot stop telling people about how they have two children who are lawyers. Find a way to drop that. I mean, I know you do about your wife.
I introduce Claire as my attorney and wife.
And or wife.
Just this week, I filled out an emergency contact form, and it's like, relationship, attorney. Yes, please direct all questions to my attorney.
I like that because when I show up to bail him out or whatever, I can be like, get the fuck out here. All right. So
Pam's mom is upset. Is disappointed.
Yeah.
That she's still going to have a job.
Yes. All right. So then we're back to the pushing to become invisible. Then all
that's
of a
what
sudden
happens.
He becomes invisible.
He's invisible. And so there's some great intro to trick photography 101.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going
I thought
on
it
here.
Was really cute.
It's adorable. It is very charming. The little footprints in the ground. Like I wouldn't know today how you do that, right?
Yeah, no, I don't know, the butt mark on the seats.
The butt on the seats, it's got like a little actuator, some kind of thing going on in the car seat.
Yeah.
Everything is great. Some top-notch mime work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
From Robert Culp, where he's like feeling him up.
Right,
And Ralph is not reacting at all.
Because he says, here's the thing is, he says, okay, so Ralph can't figure out how to become visible again. And so, thank you. There is a word.
Invisible.
To become visible again. And so their thought is, okay, take off the suit.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably Ralph is standing there naked as Bill
he
feels him up.
He agrees to, but it's unclear if he ever does. He clearly doesn't, right?
Because when Bill's trying to feel him up, he would be moving around trying to take his outfit off.
Bill pantomimes like going over his shoulder, holding what I assume is his arm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Spam is a lucky lady.
We don't know how that suit works.
So that part is wonderful. I don't know why it's so ridiculous to think, oh, just take off the suit and you'll become... Because here's one of the side effects of this becoming invisible. It apparently fills the user with a deep sense of existential dread. Like, I don't feel real anymore.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel here. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, that's bad.
I suppose that is a possibility. Well, Ralph is already a highly sensitive person.
He's very sensitive. And he's in the middle of, like, a custody issue.
Yeah, he does mention his child
for
the first time in a while.
So what that is a side effect of becoming invisible.
Uh-huh.
Now, interestingly enough,
in
there are later treatments of invisibility where if you were to become invisible, you would also be instantly blind. Because the light has no retinas to bounce off of. It would just pass right through.
Well, yeah.
Some invisibility fiction deals with this. Most doesn't. Right. Sometimes you can just turn invisible except for your eyes. Okay. And that's really creepy.
But then you'd have to have your brain. I mean, the whole thing, like, how does...
Well, your brain doesn't need light. Your brain just works on electricity.
Yeah, but it connects to chemistry. Everything. Oh, all right.
You'd need the optic nerve.
Yeah.
So you'd have these, like, super gross...
Yeah, that's...
eyeballs.
And nobody can look at you. That's why you're invisible. You have to look away. You're so gross that people have to look away.
But Ralph's invisibility is more of a light bending. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, who knows how it works? It's alien technology.
He's not like the Predator. I mean,
yeah.
There's no light bending around him.
No, he's straight up invisible. So anyway, I don't know how he's able to see anything. But that's fine.
So the movie can happen.
And speaking of movies, this is the time where Ralph, I believe, drops the Claude Rains reference.
Oh, yeah,
nice
yeah.
pull.
Yeah.
Claude Rains as the Invisible Man.
Claude Rains was the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Very famously
like
so.
Not that crazy of a pull.
I hear.
This is an old movie, whatever.
It is an old movie. It is also, let me just, as you know, I will take every opportunity to connect.
Lovecraft
to this podcast. Lovecraft has said in his letters that he really did enjoy The Invisible Man, and that seems to be the only Universal monster movie that he liked. He didn't like Frankenstein. He hated Dracula, but he really liked Invisible Man.
Why?
Which seems pretty on brand for him.
Right, so that's like, fine, but I'm just curious.
The other two are like lame and supernatural, I guess.
God knows he doesn't like supernatural stuff.
No, he doesn't like that. But he does like things man was not meant to know. And he liked the tortured scientist.
Yeah.
That was like that a little more in his lane. And he really enjoyed it. And Claude Rains is like legit, you know, a great actor and everything. Yeah. So is Bela Lugosi, but I watched Bela Lugosi Dracula lately, and it is a little silly. Anyway, back to Hot for Teacher.
Yes, whatever, they're going to go. Drive away. I have.
And Bill's great. Bill's on board. He's like, oh, this is perfect. You don't have to kill anybody now, which he was totally expecting Ralph to just go in and murder a bunch of people.
Yeah, because that won't cause paperwork.
Right. No, you're invisible, you go in, you steal the gun sight, you leave.
Right, so they go head towards the consulate. No, consulate.
No, they're going to the social mercenary
club. The mercenary
the residential mercenary
MSC,
club.
Mercenary social club. Mm-hmm. And they get pulled over by Officer Ted Cruz.
Officer Ted Cruz. I swear to God,
he looks like Ted Cruz. It's not Ted Cruz, it looks like him.
It looks like Ted Cruz, it sounds like him.
Yeah.
Okay, outside.
Yeah, sure.
It acts like him.
It
is. If it walks like a Ted Cruz,
it's not him.
Quacks like a Ted Cruz.
I don't know. I have written down "ate my son" because the bumper sticker Ted Cruz ate my son.
That is a very good bumper sticker.
I just love the idea of accusing Ted Cruz of
literally
the
anything.
Most outlandish thing you can possibly think of. Mm-hmm. All right, so they're outside the Mercenary Social Club. And all of a sudden, Ralph reappears.
Oh,
that's
no.
where you see the thing from the beginning
from
intro.
The
where he's got his hand on his...
He's got his head on his hand. He's in the car and poop, he's back. And he couldn't be happier. He feels like it's a real person now.
Yeah.
Like, I think like this invisibility like really just like immediately triggers like a disassociative state.
Yeah, if you're a thinker, a sensitive person, I mean, other people would be like, ooh, I could see a bunch of naked ladies.
Right, I go to the ladies' locker room. That's the first thing one does, obviously.
Right, if you're in a teen 80s comedy, which is Todd as a person
my
who
entire
was a
life.
Teen, right? How can I monetize this? It's just how can I see naked ladies?
How can I see naked ladies?
Okay, then Ralph reappears, but then he's like dimming in and out. Bill calls it a dim out.
Oh, dim out.
It's a dim out. Cool. Like, okay, why?
He fades in and out. Mm-hmm. He fades out again.
Yeah, he's...
Bill pretends that he's got car trouble
yes.
to give Ralph time to go in and steal the thing.
Yeah. Ralph uses his vision to see MacReady, who's helpfully at that very moment giving some exposition of, to the Central American guy Or he's not Angolan.
Or Angolan.
I don't know. He's got a vaguely Central American accent, I guess. And the guy's like, but you stole this for us.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, this seemed like a real breakdown in communication over what this contract was for.
Yeah. Yeah. MacReady is going to get murdered at some point for this. Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked that this was not a subplot.
The South American revolutionary appears to believe that he paid MacReady to steal this site that then will be handed over.
Right.
And MacReady seems to believe, oh, no. You financed me to steal this so then I can turn around and sell it at auction and you are allowed to bid at auction.
Yeah.
So this is a very, like, pray I don't alter the terms of the deal any further vibe.
Yeah. And again,
right? Like, MacReady holds all the power here.
But if you are...
But he's a contractor.
If you are a, I don't know, a Central American acting on behalf of possibly drug kingpins? I don't know, because
you have access to fighter planes that could use this thing.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So, I'm just saying, like,
it's a pretty
MacReady
short list.
Has balls of steel.
Yeah. It's like, No, I'm going to try to, I'm going to sell it to you again.
Yeah. And the Central American guy doesn't even say, like, he doesn't even demand that the amount that he paid MacReady to steal it would be, like, deducted from any possible bid off this. It's just, he's just like, well, damn you, MacReady.
Damn, okay, you've done it again. Yeah. MacReady is an expert negotiator.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
You should write a book.
And there's some discussion of how do I have the consulate protected by international law? How do we get there?
There's another thing about...
Ralph is like, what, you gonna, you know, well, of course they would, your bill's like...
We have to cut back to the B plot at some point here where Ralph has to go to the restaurant.
Yeah, but that's before that.
Okay.
I have the consulate protected by international law.
Okay.
Whatever. It's like, that's why they're like, they're taking the gun site to the consulate at 9 p.m. and they're going to auction it off because the consulate is protected by international law.
That's right.
Like, I don't know.
Brotherhood.
Yeah, exactly. And then Ralph is like, well, I'm late for dinner with Pam's parents. Gotta go.
Yep.
And it takes off.
With the finest restaurant in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Where it takes 2 weeks to get a table.
It looks like, I mean, from the outside, I don't know. Sure, it looks fancy. That's the thing, is I don't know what fancy looked like in the 80s.
Well, it had,
in LA, it has to have looked better than this place. Which
it
looks
had
like,
carousel horses on the ceil- on the roof.
It did. Oh,
yes.
That's got to be a place. Is that the Chateau Marmont? All
right. Maybe. I don't know. Right, there's like something called, there's some kind of hippodrome thing in Santa Monica that it might be.
So anyway, Olive Garden looks nicer. Yeah. It looked like
it looked like an Olive Garden.
There's a the inside. It looked like in Solvang. There's the pea place. I can't think of what it's called, but the people are all about peas.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, it's a.
Are you even speaking English?
I am speaking English. I used to have a cookbook. I think my ex has it now because his parents had a whole thing with him about peas, and you know, because he didn't like peas, and so then therefore, every gift was pea related. Sorry.
PEA.
Yes, PEA.
Okay.
Sure. We've talked about poop and farts.
Right.
The PEA. Anyway, it looked like one of those places that's like local, but also super old and they've never bothered to update it.
Right. Or clean the carpets or anything. It all kind of looked beige and dirty in there.
Yeah. So definitely not.
Not even to the standards of Olive Garden, I would say.
No, I know. That's the thing. Olive Garden is like...
We're not going to Olive Garden.
No, I would never go
like
to Olive...
Like the last episode where we definitely did go to Boca de Beppo.
We did. That's right. Why did we go to Boca de Beppo?
Because we were talking about Boca de Beppo in the hit car.
Oh, that was...
It was pretty good.
Why did that come up in the hit car? I don't remember.
Because there was the whole scene
in
like
the
Italian restaurant.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We did. Boca de Beppo was good.
It was good.
No.
We got one of the kids to go with us.
Olive Garden is not... I would not bother to go there for pizza, for the pasta or anything like that. I would bother to go for the breadsticks and salad.
Infinite breadsticks.
I know. Do they still have that?
I assume.
I don't know.
I'm not going. You can't make me.
Fine. All I know is that when I was young and poor and our office was like, let's go out for lunch. And we went to the Olive Garden. Oh. And I was like, oh, good. Thank God. Free
carbs.
Yeah. The infinite breadsticks and salad.
With all the salad and breadsticks you want, just $9.95.
This is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Where are we?
So they're at the restaurant.
Oh, yes. Where they... Okay. So then
Ralph,
she's
up
like,
there.
Ralph sent this champagne. And they come over and they're pouring Dom Perignon. Oh. Where I'm thinking, Ralph, you are a school teacher. Right. What the hell are you doing? Which I...
Even Pam's dad.
Pam's dad rightfully points out, like, this is a man that's too free with his money.
Right.
He's a single dad. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was like, oh, Dom. But I guess if you are, like, desperate because mm-hmm. you're invisible... And you would very much like to still impress your girlfriend's parents.
Right. And you've already blown it once.
Right. You're going to send over Dom
Perignon. Yeah. And then Pam gets a phone call from Ralph.
From the lobby.
And he talks to her on the phone and he's like, actually, I'm right here, but I'm invisible and you can't see me. And she's like, yeah, fine. If you didn't want to meet my parents, you should just say so. And he's like, no. And then she hangs up and then he talks to her because he's 5 feet away.
Yeah.
And again, some pretty good wire work of putting the phone back on the cradle, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then they complain for a little while. Then his boots reappear.
I have written down. She's like, well, why didn't you tell me sooner? And he's like, well, I tried calling you. You weren't there. And he said, I even went by the apartment.
The apartment.
He doesn't say your apartment.
No.
He says the apartment.
Do they have a love nest?
I don't know. Are they living together?
I don't know. But I think maybe that they both
I guess if he can afford Dom Perignon. Right? I mean, she's the lawyer.
That's true.
If I were her parents and I knew that her fake school teacher boyfriend had not shown up, but Dom Perignon did show up and my daughter was a lawyer, I would be like, oh,
you're paying for this.
Yeah, she did this. This is from her.
Yeah, and her boss is like super rich too. Has that house in Santa Barbara.
So, anyway. But I get it, I guess, if you want to.
So he's like, well, gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, because then eventually he reappears.
Right.
And he's like, well, shit, I gotta get out of here. How I'm gonna have to run the gauntlet of running through, despite the fact that he's standing directly in front of an exit
sign. 2 feet away.
He's like, I'm gonna have to go through that entire dining room full of people.
I think he's doing it to show off.
Probably. I mean, that would be how you would handle it,
yes,
for sure.
It's like, well.
Yeah, presumably because he's wearing a Superman-esque suit. He's like, blah, 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 blah. Everybody, it's Friday night or tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Come and watch.
George Bernard Shaw's Man and Swooperman.
And the subtitle also says Swooperman, not Superman. And I believe...
Why would it say Swooperman?
Because I believe that CBS is trying to be a little bit careful to not stomp on the Warner Brothers copyright because they did end up
in court.
It went all the way to court. Where Warner Bros. Is like, no, your greatest American hero is too much like Superman, and the consumer will be confused.
That's right.
And the finding, I mean, I don't know, you're the lawyer.
We should have a whole episode about that court case. That would be really interesting. Let's do that.
It went all the way through.
Yeah.
They didn't settle or anything.
That's pretty good.
It came to judgment.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think vaguely I remember discussing, like, I'm sure we read about that in law school, but I don't remember that being like...
And you just were tittering the whole
time.
Yeah. It's like, that's my favorite show.
No, I would remember that more. I think that... I do remember learning about like fair use and parody and that kind of thing. And not confusing, that's the whole thing. It's like if you could confuse it for the other, it's, you know, otherwise we could never do anything funny. Saturday Night Live would have to be off the air.
Right. I want to say that that's the case where you get the... what's the phrase? It's like legally distinct or something. There's a particular phrase that comes up a lot.
Sadly, I don't know what he's... I mean...
It's this distinctiveness, essentially, between the two characters. It's like, obviously, Ralph Hinckley as the greatest American hero is nothing like...
Right.
Clark Kent as Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way you're going to confuse the two.
Anyway, yay, satire.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's why the line is Swooperman and not Superman.
I did not even catch that at all. I wondered why you were saying Swooperman. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he does that. He tries to drum up customers and then swoops out. Mm-hmm. A lot of swooper man. Mm-hmm. I have written down, pretty cute to me.
It looks pretty cute to me. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just thinking of the conversation that we had spoken of before between Claire and Claire's mom, both being kind of hot for Remington Steele. Now that's deeply uncomfortable, probably for Pam.
Exactly. But also, like, eventually they're going to meet him. Uh-huh. They're not going to remember him from, like, the drawing attention to himself in the restaurant. But I did think that was super cute. Mm-hmm. June Lockhart being like, he looks pretty cute to me. Right. But also,
so
again,
she's going to remember.
Yeah.
Like, locked in.
He's going to show up at some point. There's no conversation about, like.
Does it even come up by the
end?
No. Unremarked upon?
No. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Maybe it's the magic of the suit.
Yeah. So Ralph has to get on the bus. He's got to take the bus home because I guess he can't fly. He chooses not to fly.
He's
uncomfortable flying. And I guess in the daylight, it can be a little obvious to people. So he gets on the bus in his costume, uniform, whatever you want to call it. Despite the fact that this is clearly fucking downtown LA.
It's Los Angeles.
Everyone is like freaking out were Peoria, Illinois.
They are like cowering.
Yeah. Oh yeah. People are, everyone is like gets up and moves to the front of the bus. Like, ooh, who's
like it's becoming a problem for the bus driver.
Yeah. The bus driver's like, go sit down, people. I find it very hard to believe that anybody in L.A.
We've talked about this so much.
Because I've never lived in L.A., but...
You lived in San Diego.
I lived in San Diego.
And you saw plenty of people in costumes.
Spent some time in L.A. And it's a point of pride.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's like that in any big city. New York, like, you just don't... Anybody's acting weird or dressed weird, you...
You ignore them even harder.
You ignore them even harder. I don't care, like, if it's... God, I'm trying to think of somebody that's not Tom Cruise. Timothy Chalamet walks onto your bus. You are going to be like, blah, 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 whatever. Oh, who's this asshole? I'm not even looking at him. I don't care if it's the hottest Paul Atreides to ever walk the earth.
Oh, how dare you?
I dare me. I mean, his dad's even hotter. All right, I'm going to continue going. Todd is battling with the cat. All right. Bill's talking to Ralph on the quote-unquote walkie-talkie, which is really just a little recorder-looking device, which freaks everyone out even more. They're all like, hey, and I've written down, people are rubes. Again, this is not Indiana. And I say this as somebody who's originally from Indiana.
An original rube.
Yeah, original. O-R. I'm an original rube. All right, so Bill is now in front of the consulate, again, faking car trouble, which I feel like, didn't they teach this in FBI school? Of like,
don't use the same cover twice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we can have a ruse, use it once. So he's out in front of the consulate, and which it just says consulate. We don't know what kind of consulate.
The consulate.
Just the consulate, where it's like if you are a vaguely ethnic person and you want to do some evil shit.
You want to do crime.
Do crime. This is where you go.
Right.
So a bunch of, and it's interesting to me how like it's a bunch of American dudes who show up. I mean, one looks like he's got like the red eye. You know, I don't know. They look very American. Mm-hmm. They show up to kidnap him. So I feel like I want to be like, oh, at least they were trying to not be racist, or maybe that's just they didn't want to pay for anybody who was actually out of the ordinary. I don't know. What do you?
Well, the main security guy is played by Red West,
Who has red hair.
Hair. He was, according to IMDb, he was a close friend of Elvis Presley.
Aww.
So, like, he plays bit parts in lots of things.
Okay.
He played Red Webster in Roadhouse.
Okay. So the security people come out and they decide, instead of just saying like, oh, hey, sir, playing it cool, can we help you with your car
is
trouble?
Is there something? You need us to call anybody?
No, they'd immediately cop to there being something going on and they decide to kidnap him.
I'm going
to
kidnap you and almost certainly murder you in a minute.
So they kidnap the federal agent and bring him inside the consulate.
Right.
Which I can't even, I just want to go back in time and reality and advise these gentlemen, this is not how you cover up crime. You don't
murder the first federal agent you see.
Well, they haven't even murdered him. You don't bring him into where the crime is. Mm-hmm. If you're going to murder him right there on the street. And then you'd be like, oh.
And then run back into the consulate.
Yeah,
and
you'd be like, I don't know, some bad guy came and, killed this guy. Okay, so then Ralph shows up. He is invisible again, right? Mm-hmm. How does he get invisible again?
It's random throughout the episode.
Okay. All right, so he shows up at...
It turns on and turns off.
Okay, he shows up at the consulate. He goes into the consulate, which on the inside is the same medieval time setup as from the pilot.
Yes.
Near as I can tell. Mm-hmm. There's torches on the walls.
Yep, pretty positive it's the same property.
And I need to know where this place is.
I don't know. It's probably some producer's house.
I guess, yes. So it's like a sex dungeon.
Yeah. And he skulks around. He finds the thing. I feel like he wraps it up pretty fast.
He's invisible. Oh, no, what I liked was they have to do all of the shots from his point of view because he's invisible. They can't show him walking around.
Right. So it's a nice little POV.
Yeah, it's cute. So then you cut to, I have written down, the group from Dr. Evil's table.
I have gathered here before me the world's deadliest assassin.
It is a very Dr. Evil vibe. Yeah,
they're all sitting around a conference
in their
table.
In their traditional costuming.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, because that's what happens. So they're all there to bid on this gun sight. And
gets up pretty high.
It does. What
does
it get up to?
50,400,000
francs.
In francs?
Yeah.
Yeah. So annoying. I have to buy something in francs every now and again, in Swiss francs. And they are ISO standards, okay. International Standards Organization. They sell documents of ISOs, and they price them all in CHM, in Swiss francs.
So Switzerland still doesn't use the euro. Uh-uh. Are they part of the European Union?
There's a overlapping diagram of where they are.
Okay.
They're part of the Eurozone, but they're not on the Euro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway.
It's annoying.
I kind of appreciate Switzerland for that. I don't appreciate them for their fake neutrality.
Right.
Because everyone knows they bought Holocaust victims gold teeth and shit.
Yeah, they're bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you, Switzerland.
No, but it's a beautiful country. I love it. I would like to go back.
Okay.
Without getting...
I retract my fuck you.
Because obviously I assume that Switzerland is listening to this podcast
right
now.
We probably have at least one Swiss listener.
I bet we have none. The event we ever get a Swiss listener, I would like to say I actually really like Switzerland a lot. Uh-huh. I've been on a funicular.
It's pronounced nuclear.
Okay. I can't say it. It was great. So they're talking about what are they going to do with Bill now that they have him kidnapped inside of the consulate. They're like, they'll smuggle him out in a diplomatic pouch.
I guess.
That's what they said, right?
No, they're going to smuggle out the device.
Oh, that's what they're talking about. I thought they were talking about Bill.
Maybe they're talking about Bill. Do you have a diplomatic body bag?
Well, I don't know. Because I was like, why don't they just dismember him? Because that's a thing that they do. All right. So Ralph reappears, has to rescue Bill again. Mm-hmm. And at this point, then he makes himself invisible on purpose.
Yes. He's getting the hang of it.
He does it. We don't know what he does, but it's like one kegel.
Yes. Just one little male kegel.
So he breaks in to save Bill.
Which is possible to do. I got muscles down there too.
Yeah. Perineum? I don't know.
There's that.
Anyway, Bill's mouth. Mm-hmm. Is scotch tape shut.
It does look like scotch tape.
It's clear tape.
Again, this is a real television show made by real professionals in 1982.
Why don't you have duct tape?
They couldn't get a hold of a car phone or any tape or a rope.
Electricians on set.
You could get gaffer's tape. Yeah, it would look better than this.
Yeah, exactly. It was literally looked like a bunch of scotch tape stuck to his mouth. And we all know, Scotch, listen, 3M. I do not mean to insult.
I mean, maybe Robert Culp was like a big pansy about it. It's like, nah, you're not going to put duct tape on my face. Yeah. This beautiful moneymaker? No way.
No, that's true. I can't blame him for that. All right, so they cut to the auction.
It gets They're still bidding. I think it gets up to $50,400,000.
We did talk about that. That was I do have some sheiks. Yeah, of course. There's a guy in like quote unquote African garb. There's a guy in a quote unquote chic outfit. And Ralph, who has made himself invisible, just walks in and yoinks the gun sight. Where the guys and everyone bidding on it is like, what happened? And so everyone starts panicking and they run through medieval times again.
Bill's got a gun at this point. Mm-hmm. That's why they're running, because he's shooting downstairs.
Yeah. So they're trying to escape and they come to a room. They're going into rooms. They go to a room with like a sliding glass door.
And it's a walled in courtyard. Basically.
Yeah. Well, Bill is like, you're going to have to bust through this glass. And then Ralph just opens the sliding
glass door. Yeah. Very Indiana Jones move.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so he's like, you're going to have to, how are we going to get out of here? Because it's like a tiny little, because as we all know, Ralph
needs
to take,
three steps.
He needs to take the three steps. Give me three steps, baby.
Yeah.
and so he does not have the three steps, but he fireman carries Bill over his shoulders and just kind of like jumps, which is enough to get him just kind of over.
Barely clear the wall.
Yeah, he can't fly, but they do the whole crashing down thing outside of the wall.
And then they're off.
Bill appears to be injured again.
Of course, he's in traction, he says.
Yeah. So they did it.
They did it.
And then they cut to the school. And then it's the end.
It's back to the school.
Yeah.
And Pam's dad is giving a speech.
I have written down, whole class speaks in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Like, hey, this is, the whole class is talking.
It's
like
probably an assimilation class for like kids who recently moved here from New York.
Right.
And all the LA people just think they're real dumb. But in reality, they just have a New York accent.
Yeah, exactly. There's like fucking Einstein in there. But they're like, hey, yo, I'm Tony. Hey.
Like, he clearly is paying attention in history class if he knows who Boss Tweed is.
Tony is, and I feel comfortable saying that he's very attractive because
he is 35.
He's a full-grown adult.
Playing a 17-year-old.
Yeah. Yes. Pam's dad is there to give a speech about
being mayor.
Being the mayor of Deer Lake, Minnesota. And Pam's dad does not come off well in any of this whole show.
No, he's a little bit of a stick in the mud.
Blowhard,
yeah,
I would say. Pam's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like,
she can get it.
Yeah. She's like, hey, Pam, if it doesn't work out between you and Ralph, just send him a message.
Send him over here.
Yeah. I don't want him to be sad.
Well, and then so they see Ralph. They don't put it together that this is the weirdo in the restaurant.
Yeah, I guess they're very unobservant.
Yeah.
Maybe they were super drunk on the Dom Perignon.
They might have been real drunk. Maybe the suit like has some kind of baffling power.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But he's got the suit on, as we come to find out.
Yeah.
Ralph is there like, welcome, the mayor of Deer Falls. And then Tony keeps trying to ask a whole bunch of questions, which I'm sorry, if you have a student in a special, like kids who don't care about school class and they're
kids
asking
who don't
questions,
read so good.
Kids who don't read so good, you fucking answer their questions because you're excited that they have questions.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then Bill shows. I like the fact that Bill shows up and like sticks his head in the door and all the kids are like, boo.
Every time that guy shows up, people get shot.
Yeah. Which, I'm sorry, but frankly, I feel like high school kids would be like, yeah, come in, Bill. This is the exciting guy. So Bill shows up and Ralph goes out there.
And he has nothing for him. He's just like, hey, good job.
Yeah, this meeting could have been an email.
I just decided to interrupt your class to say good job. I'm out. Bye.
We did it. We got him. We got him. And then, he shows up to say the title of the episode.
Right.
Because he's like, you did it. Good job. Here's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you, kid.
And then Ralph disappears.
Poof.
Yep, poof. And then you just hear him say, we've got to get the bugs out of that out of the suit. Or one of them says that. I don't know which one it was. But anyway, that's it.
If
bada bing.
For some reason you're listening to this episode and you don't know the origin of Here's Looking at You, Kid.
Oh, Okay.
It's Humphrey Bogart.
Somebody might.
In Casablanca.
Yeah.
Also, Casablanca, very good movie. The Nazis get theirs, so it's topical.
Yeah.
And there's like a great singing scene in the middle.
It is so good.
And everyone is like gorgeous in it.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
Really
good. Now I want to go watch this movie.
Go watch Casablanca. Yeah, go watch it still plays. And it's what? Not 100 years old yet, but it's like 80 years old.
It's pretty fucking old.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are very few movies that hold up that well over time, and that is one of them.
It's a Wonderful Life is another one, but it's better than It's a Wonderful Life for sure.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life drags in the middle. Casablanca is just bang after bang after bang.
It is. It is. And I remember watching that, like, I don't remember how old I was the first time I saw it. I don't think I saw it until college. And watching that, and because I had seen pictures of Humphrey Bogart before that, and I was like, yeah. Okay, whatever.
Kind of an old guy who smokes all the time.
And then, because it's true, he was considered like hot as hell. And like, and you look at him and you're like, okay, whatever. But then seeing him in Casablanca, I was like, oh, I get it.
He's got attitude.
He's got riz, my friends.
That's what the kids call it.
That's what the kids call riz.
And there was like a whole thing about the name of the movie and the setting of the movie when it got released, because it was, so it was released in 1942, and so it's before America got involved in the war.
Okay.
And then
there was
some reason why, like, the War Department, which is what it was called at the time, like, wasn't thrilled that this thing was happening, because, like, there was some American operation going on in Morocco.
Well, that makes sense, and because they're not talking about the American involvement in the war. It's just Rick is an
expat.
Yeah.
But there was some...
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a whole thing. Anyway, great movie. Yeah. Has nothing to do with this episode other than... I'm trying to think of anything else about this episode that jumped out at me. Overall,
I don't know. It just,
I think, like, it sets the tone that every episode, and I don't know how true this is, that every episode reveals a new power of the suit. We'll see how that plays
so
out.
So far,
yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, what else can there be?
I don't know.
We've seen
he's bulletproof. Okay,
bulletproof,
he can fly.
Super speed. He can fly. Super strength.
And invisible. Super speed didn't really even come up until the last until Hit Car. Like, he didn't really do any super speed things in the pilot. I don't think he did. No.
Outside of the compound, he did the run.
Oh, he did, yeah. All right.
But what else is left? Like, maybe telekinesis does come up. I don't remember.
Maybe he can do the telekinesis.
Yeah, telekinesis. 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 Telekinesis.
I don't know. I don't know what it, like, thinking back now, I mean, I wasn't as much of a super fan as you were. I can't think of any other real powers he had.
I can't have been that much of a super fan. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd remember all of this.
It's like, nope, that's it.
Yeah.
Those are the five things.
Yeah.
And the invisibility, by the way, is implied in episode one.
Right.
Where the aliens say on the radio, it's like, try power of invisibility.
No, that was...
It was a whole book, though, was the manual, so there must be more stuff in there.
I always prefer more of him teaching.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
It's just like
him with the kids.
Clark Kent is a much more interesting character than Superman.
Yes.
Bruce Wayne is a more interesting character than Batman.
Yeah.
Like.
Anyway, it's a great show.
Also, Christopher Reeve is an incredible actor. So. God. Just his slump and the way he just, like, sinks into the Clark Kentedness of it all, like, is just so good.
They have not.
Henry Cavill is a garbage Clark Kent. I'm going to say that right now.
He is bad as Clark Kent.
Bad.
Oh, yeah.
He is straight up bad. He's fine as
Superman. He's too good looking. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve, incredibly good looking, but for whatever reason.
But he like, had a way. Like, if you watch it, not just watch, you analyze, like, Superman 1 and Superman 2, you can see how he holds his body. You can see how he walks. You can see how, like, he dips his chin down all the time.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, oh, I'm meek. And you shouldn't look at me. And, like, he just, like, radiates that. But you know there's, like, you know he's the hot girl as soon as he takes off his glasses and pulls down his hair. Like, he's like, oh, now I'm gorgeous and beautiful, right?
Oh,
like,
he was
and he's
so
just
good.
Best Superman.
Yeah. Ever. No, but, I mean, I would, if I don't understand, like, if I were an actor, because who has there been? There's been Brandon Routh, who was, I think, underrated as the first Superman reboot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody else in there.
Clark Kent is a footnote in those characterizations. It's all about Superman.
Yeah, and really, the show is about Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That whole scene where... Oh,
and I'm with you. Like, William Catt as Ralph Hinckley is really good.
But the thing is that he's also Ralph Hinckley in Suit. That's why he's great.
That's the joke. Yeah. He's still Clark Kent, even though he's wearing the suit. And that's the joke.
You're right. Oh, God, that's so good. Now I can't stop thinking about how great Christopher Reeves was.
I know, he's so good.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else? I don't think we have any business for this episode.
No, it's not. We're not like a Podzothoth where
you should listen to Podzothoth.
People write in. Yeah. If you
write in to this show for sure.
What?
Oh, yeah, we have fans on this show. People,
well, who are they?
People
Why
picked
are
it
you
up
not
right
talking
away.
About it?
We talked about it in the last one.
I guess we did.
All of the mail I've gotten so far is like, when's the next episode, asshole?
All right, listen, folks. Okay, we're going to start doing this more often.
We're going
to
be serious
about
it.
It's easy for us to say, but Todd has to do all the work. Todd's the one that does all the editing. Yeah. I know.
This will come out in 2 or 3 days.
All right.
All right, well.
Be done.
Play us out. Greatest American hero.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home.
See, we need like a dirty Skrillex dub. With just like a hard...
Someone, I guarantee someone somewhere has...
Unfortunately, I don't know Adam Ragusea, so I can't ask him. All right, that's it. We're done.
Love you. Love you. Bye. 's gonna cut this out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
Not that you'll know. You're never gonna listen to it.
I don't.